It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. I'm back. You're back, too. Thank you for being here. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We had a lot that has gone down over the weekend. We got a lot of things that have gone down today. Like about 30 minutes ago, it was announced that Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, 22-year-old young phenom, just signed a contract extension, 5 years, could be worth up to $287 million. Oh, yeah, he's getting paid big time. We talked about the Major League Baseball All-Stars. They were announced in full yesterday. And now we wait for the game next Tuesday, the Home Run Derby next Monday. A matter of fact, we have Rowan Kavner who's going to join us, who covers all things baseball for Fox Sports. So we'll have that chat in about 20 minutes. Okay, we got Angel Reese upset over the weekend due to the officiating in the WNBA. She thinks it sucks. We got Chris Paul who's saying, I might quit. Jonas Valanciunas is trying to quit the NBA to go play in Europe. Patrick Mahomes, now that Tom Brady has quit, Patrick Mahomes says Tom Brady is a resource to him. Of course he is. And I could be a resource to you. You want to be a part of the show? You can. You can call me. Here's the number. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I exist everywhere at JR Sport Brief. So we got Rowan Kavner who's going to join us from Fox Sports in about 20 minutes. And then next hour, we got my old coworker, Chris Miles, is joining us from NBA TV to take a look at everything we've seen, everything we can expect, and to think about some of the things that might take place in the league as it just continues to roll on. We just talked about Paolo Banchero getting his 5-year contract extension, rookie extension. Must be nice. You become an all-star and rookie this and rookie that. Next thing you know, you get rewarded handsomely. We talked about Jonas Valanciunas, who wants to go back to Europe. He's originally from Lithuania, but he wants to go ahead and play for Greece instead of being the backup to one of the greatest big men of all time, Nikola Jokic. And then things continued on earlier today as we had the Miami Heat, the Jazz, and Clippers all come together on just one big old trade. Take a listen to this, courtesy of CBS Sports HQ.
We've got some breaking news out of the NBA. The Clippers, Jazz, and Heat have agreed to a big-time three-team trade. ESPN reporting that Norman Powell will be heading to Miami, John Collins sent to Los Angeles, and the deal will also see Kevin Love, Kyle Anderson, and a 2027 second-round pick heading to Utah. Powell is coming off the best scoring season of his career, averaging just under 22 points per game with the Clippers. Collins, meanwhile, averaged 19 points, 8 boards, but was limited to just 40 games due to a multitude of injuries. So you see it here in graphic form. The big piece is John Collins on the move, Norman Powell as well, as the Heat tried to get a little bit better.
Man, I love John Collins. Shout outs to him and his family. They were here in Atlanta. He was just always hurt. There was always something going on with John Collins. And so hearing his name be associated with injuries is not a surprise. Now, how John fits in with the rest of that Los Angeles Clippers roster is to be seen. You are led by James Harden, who's an amazing passer. John Collins is going to get a lot of lobs and a lot of shots and putbacks from both Kawhi and then also James Harden operating with the basketball. You think about Zubac still being a member of the Clippers. You would assume that them adding Lopez, that Brook Lopez is now going to come off the bench. And so the Clippers, yeah, they've improved when it comes to having big guys. But you don't necessarily have the front court, or excuse me, back court depth when you think about Norman Powell and the 22 points per game that just now walk out the door and go to Miami. Now, the Clippers aren't done. John Collins is on an expiring contract, so we might blink, and by the time February comes around, They may move him for whatever piece that they need if they feel that they need a little bit of a scoring punch, or they need to get somebody else in. And from the Miami Heat's perspective, Norman Powell, 22 points a game, not too bad, not too shabby. You already have Tyler Hero. We know about Bam Adebayo. There's thought that maybe, quite possibly, Damian Lillard might end up in Miami. Well, he's certainly not going to play this year. And so the Miami Heat have gotten better, especially with Duncan Robinson taking his scoring, his shooting, even though he didn't play as much as he used to years ago. Duncan Robinson is now a member of the Pistons. And then in the Jazz, well, we know what the hell is going on with the Utah Jazz. Well, they just want to play a bunch of 19-year-olds. That's it. There's no other plan. Colin Sexton is gone. He's now in Charlotte. Jordan Clarkson is gone. He's now a Knick. And now they said screw John Collins as well. And so the Utah Jazz are just like, let's throw Ace Bailey out here. Let's just keep on tanking, collecting more talent and picks. And unfortunately, this is how you rebuild a team without having to pay for anybody. Oh. If you're a Utah Jazz fan, just good luck watching the young guys. They're going to get a lot of burn next season, okay? And so I like the move. What the Clippers are doing, I have no idea. I have zero trust in anything that the Clippers are doing. I think you have a team built around Kawhi and James Harden. It's just like almost a complete waste of time. The Miami Heat are buying time. I like the move. You get Norman Powell and really don't give up a damn thing. So I like the move for the Heat. Botcher, what are your thoughts on this trade from earlier today?
I really wonder if this trade for the Clippers frees up space for one or two things. Probably Bradley Beal buyout or a Chris Paul signing. Just, I don't know. I don't know how James Harden, Chris Paul's relationship is, but maybe a Chris Paul Harden 1-2 spot. That could be part of their idea. And for the Heat, I really don't get it. I understand you want more talent, more scoring, but it seems like their lineup has a certain ceiling that's not championship worthy, and they're not trying to get rid of assets and get picks. So I don't know what they're doing.
Oh, well, Pat Riley would have to just send the whole team into the toilet, which is not something Pat Riley is prepared to do. I mean, they still have pieces that might get moved in regards to having Andrew Wiggins. We have Khalil Ware, who is still there, and he's currently playing in summer league. So you expect some big moves from him. So I'm not gonna dump on the Heat right now, knowing that what we see right now, I don't think is their complete roster. Are they gonna go out here and compete for a championship? No, but it's tough given some of their commitments. And one of the things that really screwed them over is the star player that they had on the team, who didn't want to be a star player. He wanted to be a star pain in the ass in Jimmy Butler. And so I think they're trying to work around what they've had. They were a championship contender years ago, but they had a malcontent who pretty much screwed things up. And we've all seen how that can work. You can go ahead and take a look at the Brooklyn Nets. And speaking of malcontents who move around, well, Kevin Durant, the trade is official. He is now a member of the Houston Rockets. And the way that this thing was put together, it wasn't like he just got dumped out to Phoenix. Like everything going on from Clint Capella signing to the Rockets, all of this went down on a 7-team trade. Kind of nutty. This is just all over the damn place and putting things together and pieces together. Take a listen to Dennis Scott, 3D, on NBA TV. Talk about this deal that ultimately sent Durant down to Houston.
I had to go back to my master's class for this to figure all this out. But you know what I figured out? KD still has power at this point in his career. To have a 17 trade to get it done, for him to still compete at a high level, KD effect is still in effect.
Do you know every player that we have on that?
No, I cannot lie. I not know every player. I sound like Charles, who he played for, where he from. But at the end of the day, I'll say it again. Kevin Durant is still letting you know his impact on the game and the influence he still had.
Oh, we know Kevin Durant still has impact. I'm still surprised that the guys, well, we had a couple of callers who hit us up last week, and they were just like, oh, Kevin Durant is this, and it's not going to work out. I'm like, well, damn. Huh? What? Am I not looking at the same thing? If the guy is healthy, and I could say that about just about every single NBA player, if he's healthy, he's going to be a benefit to that team. And if Kevin Durant fell off of the face of the earth tomorrow, you can still look at the Houston Rockets and say, man, they still have room for growth. They just have a larger opportunity and a higher ceiling with Kevin Durant right there at the top. And so this seven-team trade is the largest ever in NBA history. The Rockets get Kevin Durant, Clint Capella. They swap picks with the Atlanta Hawks. The Phoenix Suns get Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, a bunch of other players people have never heard of. The Golden State Warriors are involved as well with a bunch of picks. The Nets are involved with picks. Botch, you excited for that? A 2030 second round pick?
And we got 2 second round picks for nothing. So I'm okay with it.
2026 and 2030, exciting.
I guess so.
The Hawks get David Roddy and cash. Lakers get a bunch of guys people have never heard of. The Minnesota Timberwolves as well. Guys they've never heard of and picks. And there you have it. Seven teams involved in a trade. And really the only thing that's worth a damn in the trade is, Kevin Durant, Clint Capella, Jalen Green, and Dylan Brooks. And everything else that happens. Who knows? I'm not mad. Botcher, I still can't believe there were so many people, even if it was two folks, probably just two, that just didn't vibe with Kevin Durant. Like that one guy called and was like how detrimental he's going to be to the team. I'm like, how?
Because they don't watch the Rockets. I don't know how many nationally televised games the Rockets had last year, but it couldn't be that many. So you don't blame a lot of the casual viewers who don't know who Şengün is or knew how not impactful Jalen Green was defensively. They just look at the numbers and they're like, oh, they're going to have Kevin Durant here take all the shots and they have no real depth behind them, yet their bench guys are really good.
They won 50 games last year without Kevin Durant and had a shooting. Kevin Durant is replacing a guy whose efficiency is just an inconsistency are just widely known. He's one of the more inefficient scoring guards in the entire NBA. And you're now replacing him with one of the most efficient basketball players ever. Ever. And so to think that the only downside to this is his age and history of injuries. And I would also think being on a better team with better talent around him, this is actually a team. The Phoenix Suns were basically slapped together in luxury. It's like, hey, well, what am I going to do with one Lamborghini? I'm going to get three. And then you got to figure out, well, where am I going to park all these damn cars? I can't ride all of them at the same time. You know, that they were not a team. They were just luxury, all slapped together. Just putting together all-stars and not having depth is just horrific. Like they swung for the fences and they missed horribly. The Houston Rockets are their full basketball team, top to bottom. And there's no such thing as a perfect basketball team. And you can nitpick at everything that could go wrong or the age of Van Vliet or you know what the deal is with Durant. You can do that until the sky is just a completely different color. But they got depth, and they got a good team. And what the Rockets look like this upcoming season, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And Durant can take a little bit of a backseat and let some of the other guys go to work. And I think he would want that because it's better for him if he doesn't have to carry the whole load. And it's great for the development of the other players like Şengün and like Thompson. Let them grow. And then when it's time to close things out, let them grow and let them learn from Durant when he has the ball and him and Van Vliet. Simple as that. So I like it. We'll see what some of these other moves that are going to take place. You know, is Chris Paul, as Botcher said, is he on his way to the Clippers? I think it's been quite apparent he wants to stay out on the West Coast somewhere and play ball. We're not going to have too much more Chris Paul after his age 40 season. And so there's a lot going on in the league. You still have Jonathan Kuminga, who hasn't been signed, traded, or anything, you know, with the Golden State Warriors. And so it's been a slow roll here on free agency, but I don't think things are done yet. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, and speaking of slow roll, we're going to blink and we're going to be at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game next Tuesday here in Atlanta, Georgia. To talk about what we've seen so far in the season, what we can expect the rest of the way, we're going to be joined by Rowan Kavner, who covers all things baseball for Fox Sports. We'll have that conversation on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The NBA might be in free agency. The NHL probably in the same. They both handed out their championship trophies, but Major League Baseball has now reached the time on the calendar where it's their time to shine. We have the Major League Baseball All-Star Game here in Atlanta, Georgia next week. We've already gone past the halfway point. So to talk about everything that we've seen and what we might see the rest of the way, joining us right now, courtesy of Fox Sports, is Rowan Kavner. Rowan, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm in the bowels of Angel Stadium for a Jacob deGrom start, so I hope you can hear me okay.
I hear you perfectly loud and clear. We appreciate the time, knowing that you're getting ready to go out there and check out one of the best in the game. Let's start off here. Not best in the game. The Nationals just woke up yesterday. Mr. Lerner said, I'm getting rid of Rizzo, I'm getting rid of Martinez, regardless of what they did years ago. What the hell are the Nationals doing?
I think the timing is interesting. We're about a week away from the draft. You have the trade deadline coming up, and now is the time where you kind of wake up and say, and maybe this hasn't been so good. So I think the timing is interesting. It's not so much a shock necessarily to see them clean house. It's just sort of when it happened. And obviously, you know, they win the 2019 World Series, but at some point you can't just rest on that. And since then, it's basically been a disaster. And pretty much everything other than the guys they got back from the Soto trade, which looks like a huge success now, just hasn't been good enough. They're not a good team. They are 37-53. And I guess the fact that you have, you know, guys within the organization who are going to be kind of taking over, at least in the interim, maybe when you look at the fact that the trade deadline's coming up and the draft's here, they're at least familiar with the system, but not a surprise to see them go just based on the results we've seen, which just haven't been good enough. But yeah, the timing was a little surprising.
Are there any other teams that you've taken a look at now that we're pulling up on the All-Star break that have just been very disappointing so far throughout the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, we can stick with the host city. And I think you look at the Braves, I think that's been the probably most surprising thing that we've seen here. And I don't think it's a shock to you look at the worst teams in baseball. Not a shock to see the Rockies down there, the White Sox, but the Braves in the National League and the Orioles in the American League, sticking on the East Coast there, have definitely been the two most surprising teams to struggle. And look, I think when you look at the Braves, you look at all the pitching injuries they've had, I think you can at least understand why it hasn't gone well on the pitching side. It doesn't explain what's going on the offensive side. For them to be a bottom 10 offense in baseball, obviously definitely a huge disappointment. It'll be fun for the hometown crowd to see Acuna. He's been awesome since he came back. I guess that's kind of one thing that the fans can be excited about right now. But, man, it's tough out there.
Yeah, it certainly is. Rowan Kavner joins us, covers all things baseball for Fox Sports. When we look on the positive side of things, we see the Tigers are surging. The Blue Jays have now surged past the New York Yankees. We know there's a lot of ups and downs throughout the course of a season. But do you see them maintaining pole position in their respective divisions?
That's interesting. It's hard with Toronto. I still think the Yankees are probably the best team in that division. But man, lately, it's hard to really say that. You know, it's such a long season that whatever's happening in the last week feels like more like a month. And it's been a bad couple weeks for the Yankees. I still think they're probably the most talented team in that division. And, you know, the Red Sox are kind of coming on strong right now. It's been a horrible disaster first half. And yet here they are, a little bit over 500. I think I could see all three of those teams still fighting kind of, you know, down the stretch of the second half. But yeah, man, the Blue Jays, W8 right now. And, you know, they give Vlad the big extension. And the question kind of with this team for years is, what about the other guys? You know, do they have enough of those kind of secondary pieces to kind of get them where they want to go? And you look at, you know, guys like George Springer, who's having his best offensive season in years. And we can get to, you know, the All-Star game. He should be there. He was, I think, the biggest snub in the American League. Really no reason that he shouldn't be on that team. But he's been incredible. Vlad's been good. But you got guys like Barger, like Davis Schneider. You know, you have these guys who have really kind of stepped up for them that I think has led to what you're seeing over these last couple of weeks.
Well, Rowan, you talk about all-star snubs. Yesterday, no Juan Soto going to the game, at least on the selection from yesterday. What gives with some of these selections? What is this?
Yeah, that's got to be the biggest surprise, the biggest snub, but definitely, you know, not alone there in terms of guys who were surprised to see. And granted, I think, you know, it's important to understand how this happens. I think the fan selection, obviously, they're the ones who decide the starters. We're mostly right. I was surprised to see Baez, you know, for the Tigers get the start in the outfield. I mean, it's been a resurgent year for him, but mostly right there. The rest of it is player picks, player ballots, and commissioner's office picks. And that's where I've seen the biggest surprise. There weren't a ton of huge shocks on the National League side. I think, you know, you could definitely question Tatis. It's been a tougher first half for him than I think people expected. But American League, man, there's a lot of guys there that I was surprised to see. You got, you know, Julio Rodriguez in there. You know, Bregman and Jazz Chisholm have been hurt for a lot of that first half. Really good when they're playing, but banged up. And so you get it. The result is a lot of guys who should be there who aren't. And you have the NL hits leader in Trey Turner who's not there. The Cubs have a lot of guys they could be upset about. Seiya Suzuki's the major league RBI leader. You know, Michael Busch has arguably been the best first baseman in baseball. They're, at least in the National League, rather. They're not there. Of course, Soto. You know, Junior Caminero has a case as a third baseman. He's most home runs in the American League among third basemen. We talked about Springer. I mean, there's a lot of guys right now that definitely deserve it. I think the Astros, you could argue Framber Valdez should be there. He's one of the biggest pitching snubs to me. They have an argument for Paredes at third base. So a lot of guys on the American League side. And again, there's time now. There's a week for reserves and injuries and things like that for some of these guys to get on there. But I was really surprised at some of these choices on the player ballot.
Well, Rowan, we know by the time we pull up to the weekend, as guys pitch and don't pitch, and you say get hurt and don't get hurt, we're going to have a lot of adjustments to the roster. Can we expect to see Skeens and Scooble start the game, or what are we getting?
I think Scooble should, without question, be the American League starter. I think he's the best pitcher in baseball. National League has an interesting choice on its hand, and you have Skeens and Wheeler, who I think are the clear, in my mind, top two. I think Wheeler has a really good case. He's been basically unhittable for the last month. You look back at the last five starts, ERA under one. You look back at the last 10, ERA close to like 130, something like that. And a guy who doesn't probably have a ton more opportunities when you're looking at the late 30s. So I think the fact that Skeen started it last year, and granted, I'm an LSU guy, went to LSU, a lot of love for that guy. Yeah. He started it, totally understandable. I think I'd give the nod right now to Wheeler. I think right now he's just been basically untouchable.
Rowan Kavner is here with us, covers all things baseball for Fox Sports. When you think about what we're going to get next week and the adjustments that we've had to the game, this is probably still the best all-star game considering all the changes we've had across all sports. Would you say so?
I think so. I think it's still a really entertaining product. And, you know, it could be tweaks to the Derby, I think, but I mean, that's still an entertaining game as well. But I think I would probably say so. Yeah, I think it's still an entertaining product. And look, there's ways you could maybe tweak things here or there, but there's no perfect system.
And yeah, no doubt about that. Rowan, as we start to wrap things up, I know you're based out in Los Angeles. Can we still, even with all the injuries that they've had to deal with, can we just throw this World Series over at the Dodgers as favorites?
I think they got to be at least the favorites in the National League. And I think we had mentioned the Astros a little bit coming into this. And they've been really, really incredible. I think when you lose, you know, and again, I'm talking about American League here, but when you lose, you know, Bregman and Tucker and to still just kind of pick it back up. I mean, they've won 30 of their last 41 games and they absolutely obliterated the Dodgers this last weekend. Now, coming into this, the Dodgers were looking a lot better. They had a really hot start for a good chunk of the season. They didn't really look like the team I think that you expected them to be. They've picked it back up. They've dealt with a ton of pitching injuries. A lot of those guys are getting healthier now. The Max Muncy injury is really big, but I still think this is the best team in the National League. I think if you had to pick, they have to be the favorites to get out in the National League. A lot of good teams, you know, behind them with the Cubs and the Phillies and the Mets, although they kind of tanked for a little bit there. But I still think they're the favorites in the National League. The American League's still kind of wide open. I think the Tigers, the Astros are the best teams. But, yeah, you look at that AL East, I expect we've already seen the Blue Jays get hot, but you could see the Yankees, the Red Sox making some noise in the second half.
Hey, Rowan, final question for you. Is there a team that hasn't peaked yet that you still has a chance to go on a run? We know this World Series now is just who gets hot late.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good question. And I mentioned the Red Sox. I think, you know, the Devers deal was really surprising to me. I don't know if I'm going to put kind of my full faith into that. I think the team I'm watching tonight with DeGrom is interesting with the Rangers. Yeah. That offense, I think people expected to get a little bit closer to that 2023 level. We haven't seen it. They regressed in 2024. They've been one of the worst in 2025. They have the best, at least by ERA, pitching staff and starting staff in the major leagues, and DeGrom's been a big reason for that. The offense has just been awful. And even if they were just close to kind of league average, you could see them, you know, making a little bit of a run. I thought they were a World Series contender. We just haven't seen it yet, but still time for that. And then I think, you know, an interesting team at the deadline, at least, is Arizona, who are 44-46 right now.
Yeah.
The pitching staff's really banged up. They have a ton of guys who could help teams if they want to be sellers. They might just look at this and say, you know, there's still a lot of talent on the offensive side. Corbin Carroll just came back. Let's sort of see what happens. They're in a really tough division, obviously, with the Giants and Padres and Dodgers. But those are the kind of teams that haven't looked the way that they should yet so far, and could be interesting, at least in the second half.
Yeah, we got a lot more season ahead of us. Rowan, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody where they can follow you and all your work covering baseball for Fox Sports.
Yeah, it's at my name, at Rowan Kavner on X. Also on Blue Sky, you can read my work at Fox Sports. So there you go.
Thank you, Rowan. Enjoy the game and the matchup tonight, okay? Thank you for the time.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
No doubt about it. Really appreciate Rowan for stopping on by before the game. Always a lot to get into, as you got to get to all the pregame and batting practice and interviews and whatnot. So really appreciate Rowan for taking some time to come through and join us about everything getting ready to happen next week. And the rest of the season, really, for Major League Baseball. I'm going to be looking forward to really checking out a lot of the local festivities. I will be here on air next week during the game as it takes place like 15 minutes from me up at Truist Field, Truist Park, whatever the heck they call it. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I know Rowan talked about some individuals who felt snubbed, or individuals that were snubbed out of the All-Star game. There's still plenty of time to get them in. I'm going to tell you about someone who feels snubbed by the officials. Angel Reese is mad as hell when it comes down to the refs in the WNBA. Let's just say she had some expletives to utilize to get her point across. We're going to hear what Angel Reese had to say on the other side of the break. 888-710-4ISN is the number. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now, it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
Ready to take the next step in your career? The Bryan School of Business and Economics at UNC Greensboro offers a range of affordable, fully online undergraduate programs designed to prepare you for in-demand business roles. With flexible courses, dedicated faculty, and a strong return on investment, it's a smart choice for your future. Develop the skills employers want and gain the confidence to stand out in today's competitive job market. Apply now to start in the fall. Visit bryan.uncg.edu.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Rowan Kavner for joining us from Fox Sports to give us a preview on everything we can expect to see, not just next week with the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, but for everything else that's going to take place the rest of the season. It's like there's a few things that every year just doesn't matter. We're going to see the Dodgers there, and now even the Astros, even throughout all the changes that they've endured over the past couple of seasons, the Astros are still like a whooping ass, man. Botcher, this is typical baseball season. And then the teams that are currently sitting here at the top, well, not the Dodgers and not the Astros, but some of these teams that are sitting at the top now, like the Blue Jays, they're going to fall off and some team is going to go out there and replace them in the grand scheme of things. The season is so long. It doesn't matter who you root for. You pretty much set yourself up to see a team go on a great stretch of 10 games, lose, I don't know, 8 out of 10, and the whole world collapses and falls. So the season is just so damn long, man.
It's way too early to even be looking at the standings. I don't even start looking at the MLB standings till after the trade deadline and probably mid-August, because you get swept by one series and another team goes on a, like you said, they win three games, you lose three games, and you jump up and down, especially with some of these divisions like the AL East and NL East, where it's split by two or three games. It doesn't matter for now.
Yeah, for now. Well, I mean, there are teams that we know they ain't doing nothing. And sometimes I'll take a look at the standings just to see how pathetic they are at any, you know, given point in time. I'm looking at you, White Sox. I'm looking at you, Colorado Rockies. And then, for instance, you know, Ron had brought up the Atlanta Braves. It's been a thought here for at least, and it made sense, maybe a month or 2 months ago, just to go, oh, yeah, well, there's still plenty of time for the Braves to turn things around. And who knows? They could still go on a run where they win 10 straight games and things turn around and they get back to 500. But they're certainly a team that you kind of scratch your head about. Be interested to see how the Cubs continue with things. And now we see DeGrom back healthy and in form, what he can help the Rangers go out there and do if they can turn things around. So it's early in the season. Well, it's almost halfway. How do you feel about the All-Star break? Well, not the game. Well, not the break, but the actual game. You interested? You into it?
I always watch it just because there's nothing else on TV. And I feel that baseball is the only sport, besides for the hockey Four Nations now, is where it's actually competitive, because you can't go out there as a pitcher and throw, I don't know, 75 miles an hour instead of 95 and expect to do good or not embarrass yourself in front of the world. So you have to go out there and give it 100% effort each time. So that's why the All-Star game for baseball is good.
Yeah, I'm not as into it. When I was a kid, I was into it. I was eagerly anticipating it. I was keeping up with the All-Stars, and I just feel that the game is still competitive, which is great. I just think they let too many dudes in who are just fly-by-nights. We used to have stretches where you knew year to year who the All-Stars were going to be. You would have a surprise or two. And then it's like, hey, we've been watching these same guys for years. And then you'd watch a new guy come up and then another guy year after year. But I think there are just so many All-Stars that come in. And just like, oh, he's having a good year. And it's just, is he an All-Star? Or is he just has had a great 3 months and then we never hear from the guy again? And so that has really turned me off about the All-Star game. Of course, I'll be right here in the studio, you know, sitting down and watching it as I broadcast. But I'm not, it doesn't have the same cachet, because the guys who participate in the All-Star game, I don't think a lot of these dudes, yeah, they might be All-Stars, they might have been voted in, but they're not stars. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like there's some players like Hunter Goodman who made it, Kyle Stowers who made it. Like, you're not paying and watching to see these guys. You want to see like Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, who didn't make it.
Right. It's like, who are these guys? It's like, oh, fine. And then they may suck the rest of the year. And then, not to be, you know, old man yelling at a cloud, but I think we've reached the point where the production levels, and I understand the metrics and the numbers that everybody looks at right now from what an All-Star is different. But when I start looking at some of these numbers that the All-Stars have, I'm just like, is that an All-Star? Like, for instance, Rowan brought up Jazz Chisholm, who's basically an All-Star based on the fact of he's popular, he's cool, he's one of the guys that, you know, baseball needs to be promoting. His numbers are 245 with 15 home runs and 38 RBIs. Those are All-Star numbers for who and where? Like that might be All-Star numbers for a catcher. And I look at that and I just go, why is he an All-Star? Like, why is Jazz Chisholm an All-Star?
The only thing I could say is that they look at OPS now, mainly over batting average, for, I guess, for everybody. So he has an above 800 OPS. His OPS plus, which is based on average players, he's 34% better than the average player. And he plays multiple positions, you could say. And, yeah, granted, he's missed games, but still, his WAR and his stats for missing games is better than mainly every other second baseman in the AL.
Yeah, that's. Do you think he's an All-Star?
Personally, I wouldn't have put him in.
Yeah,
but I'm not mad. I'm more mad that Julio Rodriguez made it, because that's a one-tool player, a two-tool player, where he got him basically because of his defense.
Well, he's had his him be, not being bad, but his kind of drop off even stems back to like last year and last season. Like, he's another guy. It's just like, why is he here? He might be, well, both he and Jazz Chisholm are stars in name in that regard. But it's just like, what are we doing here? Anyway, that has kind of sapped some of the life out of the All-Star. Like, I don't want to look at guys, and I know they look at OPS, and now we've advanced to just, you know, on-base percentage. I still value, just forget getting on base. Of course, that's the name of the game. But he actually having skill enough to go out there and hit the baseball and try to get on base or try to get a double. It's just, I watched the game over the weekend, forgot who was playing, and it was like, hey, all the team's runs have come as a result of the home run. And I'm like, well, that's boring as hell. Like, let's add a little bit of diversity into the game. I miss a guy, you know, getting a single, somebody getting a double, somebody moving a runner over. I feel like there's a lot of baseball players as it stands today. Dudes are one-trick ponies. You played. You don't think that's changed over the years?
I think the stars of today are multifaceted. But if you want to stay in the MLB, you need to have a carved-out role. So whether that be a speedster, defensive guy, or a lefty matchup person, you know, that's where people as a role player on MLB teams get their jobs. Like, are you good versus lefties? Yes. Are you good versus righties? Can you play three different positions? That is filled out the bottom of the barrel for MLB teams. But the stars still today, they can hit for power, hit for average. It's just that the middle tier guys mainly hit for power now.
There are less of them. But that's the thing. There's less. I mean, I could think about a guy who had a high on-base percentage or could at least get on base. Like, he was at the top of the lineup, and then you had your cleanup hitters. And then it wasn't until you got to the bottom of the lineup that you had dudes who weren't as good with the bat that maybe had an average of 230 and 240. And I get it, what they're evaluating and what they're looking at. But the dudes who swing the bats are less skilled than what they used to be. When you look at the roster in whole, it's just like there's less diversity in what guys can do. It's like, hey, I'm a power hitter. And then, like we got four or five guys who fill out the lineup on a night-to-night basis. And it's not just the Rockies or the White Sox. But we got a bunch of scrubs on the back end. And it's just, it sucks. I just think it's almost like basketball, where I can look at a game and we might have better athletes who are out here playing basketball. Oh, they might run faster and jump higher. But I feel in certain aspects, they're less skilled in the intricacies of the game. You know, like the footwork might not be the thing. I can shoot far and I can run faster and jump. But footwork is something that's most definitely lacking in the NBA. And I think there's intricacies in a baseball game that don't exist when I watched, you know, not can't even say 15, but 20 and 25 and 30 years ago. It's very different.
I also think that pitching, too, compared to, I'd just say, like, 10 years ago, has improved tremendously.
Right.
Where these guys are throwing their arms out for five innings of scoreless baseball, where, like, 10 years ago, you'd see the guy go 125 pitches and just try to save a bullpen for a long season. So it's a big difference now where people see pitchers go down with injuries so much just because they're trying to be the best they can and not outlive the long season.
But do you think at the same time that the pitchers are so much better now? That's why these guys, I think it's a combination of both. I think that we have less development when it comes to actually utilizing the bat. And I think, yeah, we got guys coming up now who are just like, hey, here's 101, here's 102, you know, right out of the gate. And so, yeah, pitching has improved, and these guys are certainly throwing out their arms, a separate thing. But I don't think pitching has improved so much when out of the batters are just they can't do it. I think we just got more guys that don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah, I feel the launch angle, like the thought process behind it is, would you rather bat 280 and get a single every time? Or would you rather bat 30 points to 40 points lower but hit a double or a home run and hit the ball in the air? and it'd be better long term. It comes down to crunching the numbers that it's not fun for people to watch, but deep down, like analytically, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's crap. Well, the idea is for people to watch it. That's the idea. And so to go, launch angle this and launch angle that. Not everybody is equipped to smash home runs. Like, there are guys who can just, slap the ball around. Like, slap the ball, steal some bases, get on base. Like, everybody's built different. Like, baseball has always had mashers who go up there and go, hey, it's my job to hit home runs. That's what they're paying me to do. You know, I might bat, 250 and crank 40 home runs, but that's my job. I just think that there's less diversity. We do have specialized, players who go out there. Ellie De La Cruz, you expect diversity and flair and flash from him. But there's too many guys that just seem cookie cutter in baseball. Like, the diversity and the skill sets, once you get outside of the stars, it's almost like, I could shrug my shoulders at this right now. So I think that saps some of the fun and entertainment out of the game. There's still a lot of great, talented players, but just how statisticians and looking at the analytics has kind of forced everybody into these roles it doesn't make for the best watch. So we'll see what happens. Everything has to evolve over time. I just miss a little bit more diversity in the game. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to learn why Angel Reese was upset over the weekend. It had nothing to do with Caitlin Clark, I promise you. I'll tell you what's going on. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.